Welcome to SportsMed Res's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. Over the past week, we had two posts on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. The first post described a study where the authors reported that athletes need to be selective and ensure that the sunscreens they use is not impeding their sweat rate. The second post discussed a study where the authors found that viscosupplementation at the time of partial meniscectomy failed to provide better outcomes than surgery alone. If we take a closer look at that first post, we find that the authors measured the effects of two water-resistant sunscreen products on local sweat rate production among 20 athletes following 20 minutes of cycling at 80% maximum heart rate in a heat of 30 degrees centigrade and 58% humidity. They compared these effects with the application of an antiperspirant, which we know inhibits sweat production. The athletes reported to the laboratory on two consecutive days at the same time, and their urine-specific gravity and dry body mass were recorded. The researchers used both subscapular regions, which allowed two treatments to be randomly tested during each session. These treatments included a sunscreen with oxybenzone, a sunscreen with titanium dioxide, a condition with no lotion, and the antiperspirant. As the sunscreen was drying, which took about 60 minutes, the authors measured the athlete's temperature and applied sweat patches over the applied lotion. After the exercise, the authors removed the sweat patches, weighed the athletes, and recorded sweat collection time to calculate local sweat rate. The authors found that scapular localized sweat rate was lower for the antiperspirant and the sunscreen that had titanium dioxide compared to the sunscreen that had oxybenzone or those who had no lotion. The authors revealed that certain sunscreens can alter sweating and evaporation that is necessary for our thermoregulation. Application of this sunscreen with titanium dioxide to the skin hindered sweat production to the same extent as an antiperspirant. In contrast, the sunscreen with oxybenzone had no measurable effect on local sweat rate when compared with the use of no lotion. Both sunscreens were commercially available with the same SPF, however, they differed in active ingredients. The antiperspirant decreased local sweat rate by 25%, where sunscreen with the titanium dioxide reduced local sweat rate by 17%, and the sunscreen with oxybenzone reduced it only by 12.5%. Though it is difficult to determine if this difference is clinically significant or which active ingredients within the sunscreens are primarily impacting thermoregulation, deciding which sunscreen to use is an important factor to consider when preparing athletes for outdoor activities. These changes in local sweat rate could lead to increased risk for heat illness. Therefore, medical professionals should consider advising athletes who are active outside in the heat to limit the use of antiperspirants and sunscreens with active ingredients such as titanium dioxide on large skin areas because it could decrease their sweat rate. Additionally, medical professionals should continue to educate athletes on proper hydration, acclimation, and implementing sunscreen use during outside physical activity. This post was interesting to me because while I often advocate for the use of sunscreen, it's common for me to not think about its effect on the sweat production, but it makes perfect sense that some of these sunscreens could impede sweat rate. And so this was a nice study to remind us to think about this before we start applying it to our athletes or recommending that they apply it. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. This past week, we shared a blog post from the British Journal of Sports Medicine entitled Cardiovascular Screening in Athletes: Time to Refocus. And if you're an athletic trainer who's looking to get evidence-based practice CEUs, then please check out our four online courses that are available through the Human Kinetics website. We will have links to these courses, the post, and the blog post I mentioned on our podcast website. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.